Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Hallelujah. What he just experienced was the grace of God. Of the experiences, he could have lost his life twice, and God spared him. Amen? And by grace and by mercy, he's still here today. And I want you to know today, you're still here today by grace, by his mercy. And we're stepping into a new series this month called Grace, the Power to Change. And we just moved out of our series, Love, Sex, and Dating. How many were blessed by that? Amen. And I'm glad you guys are excited. We got a wide report. A lot of people are talking about it outside of the church, and they are looking forward to downloading the teachings. A lot of people downloaded messages because they wanted to hear it. And we believe, you know, we talk about the supernatural a lot, but we also like to make it practical and make it real so you guys can understand how to be balanced, how to live a supernaturally natural life. You know? A supernaturally natural life. And while we're getting ready to start, we're going to start from Matthew chapter 11. We're talking about grace, the grace of God. This is like this is probably one of my favorite messages to teach. It's one of the most important messages that you're ever going to hear me teach. So I'm excited to teach this. I believe every message I teach is my favorite. Grace. I'm just going to start from Matthew 11 today. Since we're really on far step of time, I'm not going to take too long. Matthew 11, verse 28. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'll read it again. "Come to me, all you who are labor." This is Jesus speaking. "All you who labor, those who are heavy in spirit and in body, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Going to pray as we open up this series. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you one more time for your presence that's already here. Holy Spirit, we love you. You are the teacher. You are the master teacher. You are the master counselor. You give us wisdom, revelation, and understanding. And Holy Spirit, I ask that even now as we're in this place, that you will begin to speak directly into our hearts. Let your grace, your power that changes and transforms us, equips us, anoints us, let your grace fill this house, every heart, every person under the sound of my voice. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you, to fall on everyone. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to fall on every person in this room. Holy Spirit, we thank you. You are our helper. We can do nothing without you. You are empowering us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is one of the more popular verses in Scripture. You know, like I said, coming out of our series on love, about dating, and about those who desire to be in love, to stay in love. to experience love, all that good stuff. It was so exciting. It was scandalous at points. But that's one of the forms that I believe here at Hungry for God. We're going to talk about stuff that other people won't talk about. We're also going to help you bring you into another awareness of the reality and the power of God. And one of the things that God told me to talk about next after that series, in terms of understanding the grace of God, he began to highlight to me one of the major frustrations that many Christians have in church today. One of the major frustrations, and maybe that might be you, but one of the major frustrations I've seen Christians have and the problems that they face is that they don't know how to get what they believe to work. And many Christians are filled with theology and are filled with concepts and formulas and all these different ideologies and philosophies about how to do Christianity, about how to get your prayers answered, and about how to see the power of God working through his lives. And if you've been in church long enough and you've heard messages from all the different preachers and teachers, you may have heard, you know, all these different concepts about how to see God work in your life. But one of the things I've seen that becomes a major frustration in Christians is because we got all this information, we got all this stuff, but then it seems like nothing is changing in my life. Is that anybody here? I know the word on prosperity, but I'm still struggling with my finances, right? I've heard all the teachings on healing, but then I'm still sick, right? So we were exposed to all these different truths, but then most Christians don't know how to see what they believe work. So what I want to talk about in this series, we're going to talk about the power of God and how do we actually get what we believe to work. When Christians who will get frustrated to this point where they don't know what to do, they usually resort to extremes, right? Some person might fall into legalism, meaning that they will settle for the form and fashion of church and the form and fashion of tradition, and just, you know, we just do what we're supposed to do as a good Christian, but then we deny the power because we don't know how to get the power through it. Some Christians have minor breakthroughs, or they have these bursts or peaks of power where they might see, you know, God do something in their lives, and we get excited for a season or a week or two, and then when that starts fanning down, we go back to our regular mundane living. It's almost like a spiritual high. Like some people, they get exposed to a power verse. Some anointed man or woman of God preaches, they get charged and they get excited and they go on a rampage for God, and you know, we want to war against the devil and we do all this stuff, and then in 2-3 weeks it falls off. And then we go right back to the same old, same old. So we need to get another high. We go find somebody else who preaches happy. We get charged again. Somebody lay hands on us. We get excited. We're on fire for God for another 2-3 weeks. And then that burn, that fades away. So we become spiritual junkies. We need another fix. Who's going to give me a word that's going to excite me and charge me today? I don't know, man, I'm speaking to myself. I was there. And what I've realized is that there is a way that we can actually experience a consistent flow of God's power, of God's presence, of God's favor in our lives on a day-to-day basis. That God's truth is a workable truth. And if we learn how it works, we can actually experience the presence and power and the peace and the joy and the favor and the goodness and the prosperity of God every day. Not just in peaks and bursts or moments, all right? And so what I want to do is I want to bring us into a place where we're going to learn how the power of God works, how to get your faith works, how to get what you believe to work, and how you're actually going to begin to experience the greater promises that God has for us, all right? So let's look at this thing. Let's start from where we just read, Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden." Now, Jesus was speaking to a group of Jewish people who were burdened and tired of religion. People who were used to all of keeping the requirements and the laws that the Jews had to abide by, the laws of Moses and the traditions of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. And they were tired of trying to please them. They were trying to please people. They were tired of trying to please God because they had so much that they had to do to try to please or earn God's approval or earn God's favor and earn God's blessings. But then when they tried to do it and they fell short and they didn't get a chance to live up to the standards, then they would fall into this feeling of shame and guilt and condemnation. And not only was it a feeling that they had, the very religious leaders themselves will also make people feel as if they themselves weren't capable or suitable enough to receive the blessings of God because they would fall short. And now I'm talking to a people who have tried their best to live for God, but then they just keep falling short, right? And they feel like what they're doing is not enough. And what Jesus began to preach when he appeared to them, he said, listen, all of you that are busy trying to impress the religious leaders and are trying to do your best for God, if you're tired, if you're used to labor and working hard, I want you to come to me and I will give you what? Rest. Okay, so let's write that word down, rest. It's one of the most important words in the New Testament. Not even in the Bible. This word, rest. Jesus said, if you come to me, I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So he says, I'm going to give you rest from the hard work that you used to. But in order for that to happen, I'm going to give you my yoke. And with this yoke, I need you to learn from me. Okay? He said, then says, learn from me, I am gentle, I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is what? Easy. So he says his yoke is easy. How many people have ever heard that Christianity was hard? Well, Jesus never said that. Religion says it's hard. Heavy laden, it's burdensome, it's a labor. But Jesus never said Christianity was hard. How many people ever heard, nobody told you the road won't be easy? Nobody ever told you that. Jesus said it will be. Religion will tell you the road won't be easy. Because you got to run through these hurdles and these hoops. And you got to do all this stuff to please God and earn God's affection. But Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. And it will become lighter. It will become easier. Life will become easier. Life will be made easier for you if you learn to come to him. Now, if you're still living a hard Christian life and it's hard for you and it's a struggle for you and it's a lot of work, it's probably because you didn't come to Jesus. You came to tradition. He came to religion, and he came to man-made rules, but you didn't come to Jesus. You might say, yes, I did. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. You may have met Jesus. But when you take his yoke on you, the Bible says, and learn of him, he will give you rest. This rest isn't going to come from anybody else but him. It's a rest. It's a knowing, it's a confidence, it's a relaxation, it's a trust, it's a peace that you can receive from Christ where life will no longer be a struggle for you. You may not have heard anybody tell you that, but I'm telling you, life is not supposed to be a struggle for you. According to what Jesus said. Now, that word yoke is very important because a yoke in those days was something that connected ox or cattle to, that when they would travel and they would put burdens on oxen who were supposed to carry large amounts of weight, things like that, they would tie the ox to a yoke, and the yoke was what gave people the ability to control the ox. because the yoke was like this stern wood that was put on an oxen. Usually with two oxes. And they bound them together with this yoke, and the two cattle would walk together, yoked. And man, it was easy for people to maneuver and control the ox because of that. Now Jesus said, I want to put my yoke on you. It's very important we understand that, because he said, take my yoke upon you, which means that Jesus has a yoke that he wants you to be yoked to him with, but there are also other yokes that you can be yoked to. For example, in the book of Isaiah, one of the prophecies Isaiah said was that the anointing of God breaks the yoke. What yoke he was talking about? It's different yokes. Yokes can speak of bondage or can speak of freedom. When we're yoked to Christ, it gives us some freedom. But when you're yoked to anything else but Christ, it relates to bondage. You can be yoked to this world. The world system has a yoke of hard work. The world is built on hard work, right? That's what the world says. Work hard and you'll get success. So the world teaches you to work hard, work hard, work hard. I'm going to show you from the very beginning that wasn't God's plan for man, to work hard for success. As a matter of fact, working hard is actually one of the hardest ways to get to success. Jesus says, I want you to cease from your works, and I want you to learn how to rest so that your needs can be met. The world will tell you, work hard so your needs can be met. Now you got to make a decision. If you want to work hard for your needs to be met, you'll ignore Jesus' teachings. But if you want to learn from him, you will learn how to rest and get your needs met. Hallelujah. I want to rest. Right? Is it? So the world has a yoke of hard work. Hard work is a yoke, not of Jesus, but that's one of the yokes. You can be yoked to your past. Some people are yoked to their past. They can't move forward in life because they're always focused on what happened and what's going on before them. But God wants to set you free from that yoke. You can be yoked to so many different things. I'm not going to go in depth on that. But just know that the only yoke that we're supposed to be yoked to is Jesus. Take my yoke upon me, and as a result, take my yoke and learn from me. Now that yoke also is tied to something else very important. Whenever Jesus spoke about a yoke, he was talking about his philosophy or his way of doing things. It's a belief system. A belief. So Jesus said, if you learn of me, it's something to learn, right? So it's something that you need to learn, and that's how you're going to get yoked. So he said, take my yoke and learn. When I'm yoked to the world system, it's because I've learned how the world wants me to live, and I've yoked myself to that philosophy, hard work. If I'm yoked to religion, then I'm yoked to how religion wants me to operate. It's very close to the world system. Jesus says, learn from me. And there's something that Jesus wants us to learn that's going to help us get to grace, all right? So this yoke is something that I need to believe that's going to connect me to Jesus in a way where I'm going to be yoked to him. And as a result of that, it's going to give me rest, all right? He says, for my yoke is easy. What I want to teach you is easy. Somebody say easy.
Easy.
Effortless. What I'm going to teach you is something that's easy. And my burden is light. Christianity is not hard work. Because we come into this faith by knowing that somebody did all the work for us. Jesus Christ did all the work for us already. So it is not work on my part. The hard work was already done by Jesus Christ. That's why I can praise him and shout on him. I can just shout on that all every day, knowing that Christ did the hard work. What you was going to have to pay to try to get yourself out of sin, you couldn't pay it. It was a debt that you could not pay back. No matter how much work, how much effort you try to do to try to get God's approval and God's favor in your own strength, you would not be able to do it. Nobody could pay the price. You have to live a perfect life. You have to live perfect from now up to the day you die. And you have to be sinless inside of you. And You may look good on the outside, but in here, inside your heart, I don't know what some of y'all think about. But what Jesus said was, see, God knows the heart. So it's not just what you do on the outside that impresses him. It's what's going on in here too. Amen? So if God was to judge us based on our own merits and our own work, none of us will be able to please God in our own strength. So what does Jesus want us to learn? Before we get there, I want to show you something. Some people just won't believe that Christianity is supposed to be easy, right? Some people are going to say, no, Pastor, I understand what you're saying, but we have to work. We got to fight. We got spiritual warfare. You know, all that stuff is true. But I want to show you something. Rest will not make much sense to you if you don't understand God's original intent. In the book of Genesis, let's look at Genesis real fast. The last chapter, the last verse in Genesis, chapter 1. You guys have your Bibles today? Let's look at what happened. We know the story, but I'm just going to start this end off here. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Next verse in chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all of the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, somebody say the seventh day.
Seventh day.
On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. In verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now let's stop. So now, like I said, rest or not, you won't really understand this rest, because all of us are coming out of the world system and we've all been taught we gotta work hard to survive and to thrive and be successful in life, right? Now, original intent says this: you won't be able to understand something unless you understand the original intent. Why was it created and how was it created to function from its original purpose? So the cell phone was created with a specific plan on how it was supposed to function. Right? If I don't know what this was originally intended for, then we know what it is today. But let's just imagine 50 years from now, this is going to be prehistoric. Probably in 20 years. 80 years, right? But for the generation who doesn't know what this was, they're just looking at it like, what's this piece of plastic? Right? We're just going to look at this like, what is this? Because we don't understand the original intent, original purpose. So it's very important we understand original intent, because it allows us to learn how to function properly. Now, God created man on the sixth day, and the Bible says on the seventh day he rested from all his works. Now, if God created man, I'm going to give you revelation now. It's a revelation. He created man on the sixth day, and on the seventh day he rested. What was man's first day? The seventh day, which was a day of rest. So the very first picture that God had of man was a God who was at rest. And the very environment and atmosphere that man was created in to function in was an atmosphere of rest. Originally, our first experience of life was rest. Now, when Adam sinned and chose to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, then man stepped out of rest and began to live according to their own works, their own efforts. And man began to try. From that point on, man started striving to become something that God had already made us. We went to resolve and trying to depend on our own works, our own efforts. And thus, that's how the whole world system began to be developed and designed, according to sin. When we sinned, we had to depend on our own flesh and our own efforts. And God, from that point on, has been always trying to get man to come back to a place of rest. The first work Adam did, he sowed, took, cut leaves and covered himself to try to make himself righteous. Because he sinned. He stepped out of what God had already made him. So now he was trying to make himself righteous with his own works. Now, I'm going to help you understand this. So if man's first day was a day of rest, and when Jesus Christ came to give us, remember what one of the things that Jesus Christ said, got the verse. Jesus said, I am the Sabbath. Jesus said, I am the rest. So when Jesus Christ came, he came to restore rest back to us. It wasn't speaking about a day as much as he was speaking about a disposition or a place in God where we would learn to live in this rest that God had already designed for us to live. It's a place of effortless success. It's a place where the favor of God on our lives will begin to work on our behalf. When Adam lived and walked on the earth on the seventh day, there wasn't much for him to do because it was already finished. It was a finished work. Adam's first day was a finished work, and all he had to do was maintain that which God had already finished. All Adam had to do was to maintain, steward what it was that God had already provided for him. Come on. Jesus Christ, our Sabbath, under the new covenant, says this: I'm giving you a finished work. And all you need to do is not try to work to earn what I've already given you, but your job is to simply rest and receive that which I've already provided for you. Because how do we experience the rest of God in the New Testament? It's by believing in the finished work of Christ. Let me give you these. This is one that I wrote down. Rest is the foundation of destiny. Rest is the foundation of destiny. Rest is the pinnacle of the climax of divine order. When God created all things and everything was created well, he rested because everything was in order. When our lives are not in order, we can't rest. We gotta work to try to get things back in order. When you come to Jesus, he restores order, and you can rest again, but you have to believe it. Rest is the nature by which all things grow and function properly. The very nature from which all things grow and multiply and function is in a place of rest. When we look at nature itself, we can see this principle. You don't see fruit trying to force its way out the branches. You don't see the sun struggling to rise every day. Rest is the nature by which all things grow, multiply, and function properly. Man is the only thing that needs to get back in place of rest. We need to function and understand who we are. And when that happens, the first thing, see, the very first thing Christ said, I want to give you is rest. Church, when you come to Jesus, the first thing you should experience is rest. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. Cease from your works. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks about how the nation of Israel did not enter into the promised land because they did not learn how to rest. I'm going to talk about this soon. But I got to lay this foundation. Rest is the foundation of destiny. You will not step into your God-given destiny, your purpose, and you will not fulfill the assignment God has in your life if you don't learn how to embrace the mindset and the heart set of rest. You won't be able to, see, we can do this. When you learn religion and when you learn of what man taught you, it gave us a form of security because we can depend on our flesh to try to make ourselves feel more comfortable. But the minute, you ever tried to just sit quietly for like 10 minutes and don't do much? You never know how hard that is? It's very easy for us to get up and go all about our business, go all throughout the day. But we just find it so hard to just sit and just relax. That's how I'm telling you. This is so important. Because Jesus was so at rest that they were in a boat during a storm. and he was sleeping, knocked out cold. And all the disciples were panicking, thought they were going to lose their lives. They woke him up, said, "Master, don't you care we're going to die?" And Jesus was at rest. He was asleep. We know the story. Jesus got up. He saw the storm, and he spoke to the storm, and the storm ceased. You see, out of rest, you can bring order to any environment. But this rest is an internal rest. It's not an external rest. It's not that when I'm in rest, all my problems around me and all the drama around me is going to end. But it's when you're in this rest, you're at rest, and everything that's going on around you no longer bothers you anymore. Come on, you can sleep in your storms. That's when you know you're at rest. It's a peace, it's a composure that you can have despite of the storms, despite of what's going on around you. And when you know you have that inner rest, that inner peace, you can speak peace and rest in everything around you. This is what I want you to tap into. All right? So now this is what Jesus said to do. Not Jesus, look at Hebrews. I'm going to go to Hebrews 3. I want to get you this revelation. Hebrews chapter 3, verse somewhere around there. 16 or something. Hebrews 3, verse 16. "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, and howbeit not at all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore, did he swear that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" Verse 19. "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." So one of the things that keep us from walking in rest is having a lack of confidence or lack of trust or unbelief. Having unbelief in our own hearts about what God has provided for us. When Adam sinned, he began to doubt what God had already given him. He doubted that God already made him like him. And so he spent his time trying to make himself like God. We today will fall short of the promises of God if we don't understand that everything I need from God is already a finished work. It's not something that I got to earn. I got to strive. I got to be on my best behavior to try to earn. Because if I live trying to live up to God's standards in my own strength, and I judge myself by how good I think I am, how long I prayed today, or how much I fasted, you know what I mean, how long I read the Bible. If I live based on this works-oriented mindset or living, then I'm going to always fall short of what I believe God expects from me. And as a result of that, I won't have the faith to believe God for the promises. That's what happens. We judge ourselves, and we feel I'm not worthy, I don't deserve this, and then we won't expect God to do what he says he will do in our lives. Right? So the Bible says the people of Israel did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Verse 1 of the next chapter. We're almost done. Yeah?
Yeah.
"Let us therefore fear, unless a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." If you're taking notes, you should also write that down. Rest is the prerequisite to receiving the promises of God. Rest is the prerequisite to receiving the promises of God. You don't receive the promises of God by working. This is why many Christians get frustrated and they begin to feel like, well, God doesn't hear them anymore. Or maybe they felt like, well, I'm committed to unpardonable sin and God doesn't want to talk to me or hear my voice. I'm praying and my prayers are not getting answered because we're still thinking from a works-oriented mindset. Hallelujah. We experience the promises of God by resting in him. Therefore, he says, "Since a promise remains of entering into his rest, let us fear, unless any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. Do I have any believers in here?
Yeah.
We who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day. He says, today, after such a long time, it's been said, today if you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts. Let's jump down to verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Man's first day was the seventh day, which was a day of rest. Jesus has become our Sabbath. When I believe in what Jesus provided for me and has given me through the cross, my first day as a new creation will also be a seventh Sabbath day or a day of rest where I cease from my works, where I will no longer live trying to depend on my hard work and my efforts to try to please God or get anything from God. I just simply come into the kingdom and say, Lord, I'm your son, I'm your daughter, feed me. I don't have to work for this. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Religion is all about hard work to try to get God to do something for you. Christ said, come to me, I'll give you rest, and it becomes easy for you. Anything you're trying to do in your own strength, you're trying to start your business and get your business off, stop trying to rely on your hard work and your own business IQ to try to get it. Just start giving God your business and say, Lord, I'm going to rest in you. You promised me this business, I thank you for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Whew. Father, you promised me a husband. You promised me a wife. I'm not going to try to get a wife. I'm just going to rest. Adam didn't work for a wife.
Come on. Boom.
Adam didn't work for a wife.
There you go.
God said, I know what you need. Adam didn't have to strive for food. You didn't have to strive for water. It was provided for. And this is the atmosphere of rest. This is the climax of rest. You cannot fulfill your destiny until you step into this realm of rest in God. And this is where we get into. The people of Israel did not get into the promises, did not experience what God promised them because they did not rest. Amen? So as we close, we go back to Matthew 11. So Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. Come to me, and I will give you rest. He's going to give you the rest, not me. He's going to give you rest. You're going to put my yoke on you, and as you put this yoke, my teaching, my philosophy on you, and learn from me. I got to teach you something now. You got to learn something that's going to bring you into this rest, right? And learn of me. He says, I will give you rest. Learn of me, for I am meek, and I'm lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. See, your spirit doesn't need rest. The minute you got saved and your spirit was born again, your spirit is at rest. But it's the soul. Your soul is the reason why you can't sit still long enough. Your soul is that wilderness period. You see, the people of Israel transitioned from Egypt. They went through the wilderness and they had to get to the promised land where they can experience what God promised them in the natural. You know, God promised them, he said, you're going to get houses that you didn't build. You're going to eat from vineyards you didn't plant. Those are the things God promised them in the promised land. You're going to inherit houses that you didn't work for. But the Bible said they didn't believe. You know what they were focused on? They were looking at the giants in the land. And they thought they were inadequate. They thought they weren't strong enough. They didn't have the military weaponry. They thought that they didn't have what it took to get into the promised land because it was already preoccupied with some things. But I'm telling you, if God promises you something, it doesn't matter what you see around you. He already promises you. God's promise brings you into a rest. If God promises you something, you should be so confident and you should trust him enough that what he says you can have it despite of what you see around you. So they didn't get in because they were focused, busy, too busy looking at all the other factors. And I want you to focus on the one thing. God's word promises you rest. Believe it and begin to declare it over your life. I'm not going to sit there and focus on the drama. I'm not going to sit there and depend on my effort. I'm not going to try to earn what Jesus has already earned for me. So I said, he said, you will find rest to your soul. Here's what I'm saying. Egypt, Israel left Egypt. Israel is the type of the church in the Old Testament. They left Egypt, which represented the world. The transitional period from Egypt into the promised land was the wilderness. And how long were they in the wilderness?
40 years.
Almost 40 years, right? Over 40 years. They were in there for 40 years, and that generation did not get in. Why? Because they didn't believe, and they did not believe in rest. They still had Egyptian mentality. The world's yoke, the world's mentality, hard work. We don't believe that. See, I don't believe that we can really access this promise. We're not strong enough. We're not capable. I'm not smart enough. Whatever it is that inside of your own heart, you don't believe. See, all of that, that whole period in the wilderness was God trying to teach them, this is why you can trust me. I provide for you. I clothe you. The Israelites didn't have to worry about anything in the wilderness. His presence was with them. And his presence stayed with them. They matured. They spent 40 years. People who were kids grew up for 40 years. And they still, when they got to the place where they were supposed to inherit the promises, they could not get it. Because this wasn't an external thing that was supposed to happen. It's an internal transformation that was supposed to happen. Inside your own heart is the very place where rest is going to begin. It's you making a decision to say, I'm going to learn of Christ, and I'm going to allow my heart to learn to rest. My soul, I'm going to allow my soul to come to this place of rest. Your soul wants to wander. Your soul wants to stay in that wilderness and wander all around and around. But your spirit is at rest, but your soul doesn't know how to rest. And you, the Bible says, you got to bring your soul to this place of rest so that you can enter into the promises. I'm trying to land somewhere. But a man is playing. Your soul needs to come to rest. Rest is already available to you, but it's the place when you get to a place where you believe in your heart what happens. So now here's why we're going to close. So Jesus says, learn of me. The very thing that Jesus Christ wanted to teach you is grace. Grace. That's what Christ wants to teach us. If you learn what my grace is all about, you'll learn how to rest. Because grace replaces hard work. It's the yoke that Christ wants to put on you. Ephesians 2 verse 6, and we're done right here. Ephesians 2 6. This is where we're going to start next week. Jesus says, learn of me, and I will give you rest. Grace is that rest. Sorry, 5. There it is, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, God quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. For by grace, you are saved. By grace, you are saved. The entire work of salvation, the entire work of what Christ did for us, we experience that by grace. Not by works, not by might, not by powers, not by efforts, but it's simply by his grace. And if you got saved by grace, you're not going to stay saved or grow in your salvation by anything else. It's by grace, but it's not grace at all. And that word grace, you know what that word grace means, translated, is the word favor. So by divine favor, you are saved. And it's by divine favor, you will receive every other promise that God gives you. Not of works that any of you should boast. It's not of your own efforts, but it's a gift of God. Amen? God gives us his grace, it's his favor, and you got to learn how to become vulnerable to his favor. You got to learn how to become wide-eyed and looking at favor. And every day of your life, saying, God, there is grace for me today. There is grace for me today, because you don't want me living my life striving and working hard and trying to live like the rest of the world. There is going to be something that marks me, that marks you, that sets the rest of the world apart. Because when all they had to do to work hard for what they got, we can look back at our God and say, look at what our God did. See, I want to grow our church, but I'm not going to fall into the trap of hard work. If God wants our church to grow, it'll grow by grace. And I'm going to relax and rest and know that, Father, I know you already want to add to the church daily. You want to see people grow in you. You want to see people experience your love. And Father, I'm going to trust your grace. By grace. By grace. And I want you to adapt that for your life today. I want you to make a decision today, Lord. I'm going to choose to take this yoke on you, this yoke that you give us. I'm going to learn of you, and I'm going to cease from all my hard work. Some of us feel like we had to work hard because of how we grew up. We didn't have anybody around us to help us. We didn't have people. We weren't born with golden spoons in our mouths, right? Right? So maybe some of you got it. We didn't grow up with silver spoons in our mouths. And we have to learn to fend for ourselves and protect ourselves and work hard. Hallelujah. But when we come to Jesus, he says, put all those cares and all those burdens on me, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Come on, let's all stand. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I want to learn to rest. Anybody else? I want to keep learning to rest. If the only way I can get into my promise is rest, teach me to rest, Lord. And I want you to pray that to God right now. Just teach that to the Father and say, Lord, teach me how to rest.
Lord, teach me how to rest.
Sing it again. Say, teach me how to rest.
Teach me how to rest.
Teach me your ways.
Teach me your ways.
Teach me your ways.
Teach me your ways.
Hallelujah.